Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
North Carolina, not just a basketball school anymore. Bill Belichick's in the building. 5 years, $50 million. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff still unpacking this announcement because even though we knew it was coming over the last couple days, Perloff, it is a little kind of jarring to see hashtag Carolina Bill, Tar Bill. It's like, what? And what's wild about it is a couple things. First of all, I think it's going to work. So I'm kind of interested in this and how Bill's going to have this second life here as a college coach, which I'm interested to see. But the other part that's fascinating is why has the NFL, yeah, seems like resoundingly has said no thank you to a guy who won 6 Super Bowls?
Well, I mean, there are probably a lot of reasons. Timeline is interesting. He's 72. So we had somebody called in like, oh no, sorry, it was last hour. Jeff Howe was saying like a college will probably only get 3 or 4 years of him. Maybe an owner, it's just a doesn't think it's going to be long enough. It's not worth the investment. There are a lot of reasons that just the idea that he's not a good coach seems ridiculous. Yeah, like that crazy. Doesn't compute.
No, we all watched it with our eyes, guys. Even the most diehard Brady supporters, or if you think Brady was the only reason they won, first of all, you're wrong. You'd be totally wrong about that. But secondly, even the most staunch Brady supporter would have to, we watched Bill Belichick coach at an elite level for multiple decades. You know, we always talk about, wow, Brady's weapons. And who are the first ones you think of? Randy Moss. Okay, legit Randy Moss, first ballot Hall of Famer. And do you think Amendola, Edelman, Wes Welker? These guys were not guys until Tom Brady made them. Like, and the same thing for Belichick. Yeah, we always say, like, the amount of, there's for the dynasty, for a dynasty, mm-hmm, like they had, how few guys are probably going to the Hall of Fame from that dynasty. Bill Belichick coached those guys and got the most out of them.
Absolutely. Or was it Brady?
I know. See, I can't with this. I can't with this. Let's turn to a man who's literally wrote the book on Bill Belichick. He's an award-winning writer and journalist. Ian O'Connor joining us now. Ian, literally, you wrote a book about Bill Belichick, his entire coaching life and life. So we wanted to talk with you today after he took the North Carolina job. How are you?
How are you guys?
We're good. I mean, we're all surprised. You wrote the book on Belichick. Are you surprised he's pivoted to college now?
Sure. He spent basically 50 years in the NFL. So, yeah, I'm surprised. But if you look at it, Maggie, I think it's a great time for Bill to get into college coaching because college football now is the NFL. It's just a AAA version of it. And he's trying to turn North Carolina now into a AAA farm team. And the way I look at it, when people ask me why in the world he would do this, well, first of all, he was afraid that he would get shut out again like he was last winter in the NFL. So he wants to coach. He doesn't want to be a media personality again next season. So this was a surefire opportunity to do it. But in the NFL, when you have a quarterback problem like he did when Mac Jones went south, you can't, it's hard to fix it right away. In college football these days, with the transfer portal, you can fix it right away. So even though in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, they're not ever going to be free agents in their prime. The best college football quarterbacks can be free agents year by year. Mm-hmm. So I think with a guy who is 72 years old, knowing he could get high-end talent, particularly at that position, right away, it makes some sense.
What about the, you know, maybe this isn't modern college football, but this idea of, you know, the old school college football coach like Bear Bryant, who's like, you're going to do it my way. That's like how I picture Bill Belichick. New college football, guys can leave if you coach them too hard. Is that a concern for how this is going to play out in North Carolina?
Oh, Andrew, guys could also leave and go to you if they're unhappy in their situation. And right now, Bill Belichick is a football version of Dean Smith. So I think coaching Gen Z players is a challenge for everybody. But when you look at some coaches around sports, Dan Hurley has an old school mentality when he coaches, and he's the best coach in college basketball, coaching Gen Z kids, and he demands a lot out of them. So there's one example. And I think Belichick is underrated. I wrote some about this in my book in terms of behind the scenes, one-on-one. He knows when to put his arm around you and hug you and remind you that he does care about you as a person. So I think he'll do more of that now. And if you look at this last season and his media appearances on different major platforms, it was really like an infomercial for his other personality that he never showed as head coach of the Patriots when he was at the podium, on the sideline, just on the job. I wrote about that other person through his friends and close associates, that he was just a different human being away from the field. And I think he's shown that now in public the last year. Young players, high school players, college players have seen that. And I think that will help him in recruiting.
Ian O'Connor is joining us. He's an award-winning author and journalist who wrote a book about Bill Belichick. And as we're talking about Bill's big career change today, I mean, it's still coaching football, but on a totally different level, going from the NFL to college at North Carolina. Ian, is there a thought that, I mean, Bill's obviously got to be a little stunned, chafed, what have you, that the NFL has basically said a collective no thank you to someone who's had the amount of success that he has. Do you think this is going to make him a bitter towards the NFL? Do you think this is going to give him like a renewed sense of vengeance, you know, to prove everybody wrong now at North Carolina? How do you think this is going to manifest with Bill, knowing his personality the way you do?
One of those guys, Maggie, who doesn't forget a slight, whether it's real or imagined, ever. So sure, it's another source of inspiration and motivation to prove people wrong. And of course, when he got fired in Cleveland as a head coach, he carried that with him through the rest of his NFL career, and he became the greatest NFL head coach of all time. And it's a great opportunity now, because the one thing Nick Saban had on Bill, his good friend, of course, was in college when Nick Saban won a championship, he was rewarded. He was able to recruit the best high school players in the country year after year after year. In the NFL, when you win a championship, you get punished by the schedule, by the salary cap, by everyone wanting to get paid. You draft last instead of first. Nick Saban always got to draft first after he won a championship. So I think Bill will enjoy that part of it, that he has so much credibility now. And he does have something new to prove at the college level. If he can win a national championship, imagine, not that his legacy needs anything else, but if he added let's say he gets to the Final Four, and now college football is taking 12 teams, which might grow to 14 or 16, so he's got a better chance to do it. I think he is more motivated now because of the NFL slight. I can't understand why somebody didn't hire him in the NFL. I really can't, but this is a great opportunity I think he'll take advantage of.
Well, I mean, Ian, you know the New York Giants very well. Like, why would a team like that not bring back? I know each team has their own individual reasons. Is there like an underlying reason that you think people are not going to Belichick, or do you think it's a case-by-case basis?
I think the underlying reason there with the Giants is simply because, and I know John Mara has a romantic feel for anything related to Parcells and Belichick. He still emails with Belichick over the years. He stayed in touch with him. When he hired Joe Judge, he sought counsel from Belichick. Belichick told Mara that Judge is better than the last two guys you hired and fired. So he gave him a recommendation. And I think the temptation was probably there for John. The problem is with the Giants, they just fired three head coaches after 2 years. And I really think had that not happened, Belichick to the Giants would have been in play. I think Shane and Dable will get another opportunity. I'm not sure they deserve it, but I think because of recent dysfunction in the Giant organization, they'll get it. So I think overall in the NFL, there was just a fear that if we bring Belichick into the building, we, meaning executives in that organization, are likely to get fired. And I think it was self-preservation inside different organizations that ruled the day, and that's why Bill Belichick could not get an NFL job.
Ian O'Connor is joining us, wrote a book about Bill Belichick, has written several books, is award-winning author. You know, we've been talking about the Shula record, you know, that Belichick 14 from tying, 15 from passing, the all-time wins record for the NFL. And we all thought that was pretty important to Bill Belichick. Do you think now he's just completely given up on passing Don Shula?
I don't know about giving up. He might coach a few years. The one thing about Bill is he is a very young 72. He's got an incredible amount of energy. He's a machine. He always has been, stacking 16-hour days, one on top of the other. Some young assistants not able to keep up with him. I know way back when he was head coach in Cleveland, Nick Saban at times couldn't keep up with him. So I think you can't rule out the possibility that he has a really good 3-year run in North Carolina and decides to go back to the NFL if the right job presents itself. I think it's probably a long shot that happens. But that Shula record did mean something to him, particularly after Shula called him Belichick, which was really hurtful. And I think now it's likely he has given up the ghost on that. And listen, I think most people, historians, look at the NFL and say Belichick was the greater coach. He is the greatest coach of all time. I don't think he needs Don Shula's record to validate that or notarize it. So I think deep down that's how he feels. It wasn't the number one priority on his list, obviously, or else he wouldn't have taken this job. But I think it was something he cared about that now he is letting go by the wayside.
How important is it to Bill Belichick to have this inner circle come with him? It does seem like Mike Lombardi got hired as a GM. I expect some assistant coaches. One thing about Belichick, his son eventually seems like somewhat of a grumpy guy, but he does seem to hold his friendships very close, and they're important to him.
Yeah, I think Mike Lombardi, obviously being his GM and bringing in a staff, I would be surprised if the usual cast of characters, the usual suspects, whether it's Matt Patricia, Belichick's sons, one or both, obviously Josh McDaniels and Joe Judge, that two or three of those people will be on this staff. And that is going to be a hell of a staff, particularly if you're selling the program as we are going to get you ready for the NFL. Outside of Bill being the greatest head coach of all time, McDaniels was probably the best offensive coordinator of his generation in the NFL, even though he was a failed head coach. So I think North Carolina, it's weird because they should have been good over the years. I'm not sure why North Carolina football was pretty much irrelevant going back to Lawrence Taylor's days in the early 1980s. And you look at the facilities, the campus, that's a good recruiting area too. Why hasn't North Carolina football been good? You can't just tell me it's because it's a basketball school. That's not a good enough reason. So I think there's a lot there for Belichick to mine and really quickly possibly turn that thing into a monster simply because of his credibility, his resources, the fact he can get Tom Brady to call the number one high school quarterback in the country and say, hey, this is the guy you need to play for. I think he could be a real force to be reckoned with in college football.
I was wondering that. I'm like, where's Brady's allegiance here? Because he's such a Michigan guy. Would he actually call someone on behalf of Belichick? But I'm sure he probably would. Ian, just a couple more for you, and thanks so much for joining us. Ian O'Connor is joining us to talk about Bill Belichick. But I also have to ask you, I don't want to say an obligatory Aaron Rodgers question, but your book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, came out earlier this year, and it was phenomenal. Big debate going on around our show. Will Rodgers come back next year? And a secondary debate, Perloff thinks that much like Brett Favre a year after the injury, he's going to go somewhere else and be awesome. So first question, do you think he stays in New York at all? And secondly, do you think he still has another like MVP-like season in him?
Not MVP-like season, Maggie. I think he could play at a higher level next year. I do think he wants to play. I think he will play. Unless there's another injury here at the end of the season, which hopefully won't happen. He looks better. He looks healthier. And people forget the home opener, week 3, the Thursday night game against New England when the Jets went to 2-1. And people are like, okay, this is an 11-16. He looked lights out. He looked great. He looked like he was 29 years old against the Patriots. He was running around, making plays. And then he took hits in Denver, or against Denver at home. He took more hits against Minnesota, and his body fell apart. Mm. Now it's coming back together. And I think someone will take a chance on him. The problem with the Jets is if they bring him back, draft a quarterback to learn underneath him, it's a $63 million dead cap hit the next year, assuming Rodgers is not on the roster. And I think that precludes him from coming back to the Jets. But I do think he'll be a starting quarterback somewhere next year.
Ian, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. Bill Belichick in a stunning move going to North Carolina.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Ian.
I had to get the Aaron Rodgers question in. Because that's a great question. We have a three-part documentary coming out also with Aaron Rodgers on Netflix soon. I think we get to watch him take ayahuasca, which is going to be something.
He's gone now. I'm curious if Ian would write another book about Belichick down in North Carolina, because that would be really interesting. There's a little bit of fish out of water thing, too. Mm. I mean, because Belichick's been up in New England forever, now recruiting on Tobacco Road. I just need to see him go into one living room. Just give me that, Maggie.
I would like to see it, too. I'm not going to lie. I want to see Belichick walk into a living room of someone in Florida, Alabama, Arkansas. Mm. I want the real fish out of water. Like, send me to a totally, I want him in the heart of Texas, walking into a living room, trying to persuade mom and dad, send your kid to North Carolina.
Well, he is, he's good friends with Nick Saban. So
Saban's with a fake Texas accent, of course.
Brian Kelly, right?
By the way, you said the recruits getting a call from Tom Brady. Once again, the recruits will be like, Tom who?
Oh, stop
it. I am dead serious. You think they care? I don't know. This is all about the money now. This is honestly, and I think Ian had a good point. You could go to the free agent quarterback every year. He's not bringing any 18-year-old quarterbacks. He has no interest in developing a quarterback. It just doesn't fit for his timeline.
Listen, he could bring in a quarterback who's already had two stops.
Yeah, he's bringing in a 22-year-old quarterback. Ian made that very clear, and that's exactly an advantage. Such a good point he made that if you win the title in college football, you get the number one pick. If you win it in the NFL, you lose all your coaches and all your players.
I think this is going to be successful. Bill Belichick, Perloff not sold. 855-212-4227. What do you think? And how do you think it's going to go? Can Bill Belichick win a national title? Ian's right about the sleeping giant thing with North Carolina. Mm. I think they are, because look at what Brady did when he left New England. We talk about this all the time. He saw something in that Tampa roster. He was like, this is something I can work with here. I had Mike Evans, Godwin. I've got a defense. Todd Bowles was the defensive coordinator. He was great as a DC. Like, Bruce Arians as the offense, as the head coach. Who was it? Byron Leftwich, I think, was the OC. Brady saw something in that Tampa roster, and he saw that the NFC South was winnable. Drew Brees was on his way out. That was his last season.
Brady had three options, maybe, at best. Belichick probably only had maybe two or three college options at best. Where else was he going to go?
I don't know. The college carousel wasn't as robust this year. Could he have gotten Billy Napier out of Florida? Probably.
No, probably not.
Oh, man. Florida. If he called Florida and Florida said no, I would. They should be pitchforks outside of Ben Griffin.
I know DJ Lagway walks on Bill Belichick. He's not going to play for him.
What?
I'm just saying. I think he would have had some other options.
I don't think these 18-year-old quarterbacks want to play in a Bill Belichick offense. Like, this is college football. This is spread out the field. Give me Shark. Give me Lincoln Riley. Like, Bill Belichick, I don't think he's as attractive to players as
DJ Lagway said no to Bill Belichick. That would be the number one red flag whenever he enters the NFL.
Why would DJ Lagway want to play for Bill Belichick? That doesn't make any sense.
Question?
he wants to play for
Lincoln Riley. Why Bill Belichick kills quarterbacks? He doesn't help them.
I think you're thinking about, I don't want to say too hard, because we like to do that around here. We're always about layers. But I think you're overthinking it a little bit.
I view Belichick totally different than you guys. I'm like, oh, God, who would want to play for that guy?
Hey, man, so you think a 18-year-old kid is like, oh, yeah, Lincoln Riley. You think that they care about that more than Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I feel like 18-year-old kids are probably more interested in, like, Lane Kiffin and Lincoln Riley, these big offensive coaches. Like, yes.
They couldn't pick Lane Kiffin out of a lineup. I don't agree with that.
Are you kidding me?
A high school player?
Lane Kiffin's probably hanging around more high schools than you want to know about.
Kind of sounded weird. But
Lane Kiffin's a big presence on the recruiting trail. Trust me. Like, Lane's everywhere. But yes, no, I just don't think, like, Bill Belichick's a natural fit for quarterback, right? Like, he's not going to be Mike Leach here. He's just going to... He's going to special team you and run the ball to death.
But he coached Tom Brady. That's exactly. That's all that matters.
Perloff doesn't think that anyone under 25 has heard of Tom Brady. I think you're wrong about that.
He won a Super Bowl like 3 years ago. It wasn't like he played in, you know, Manny's era of the 90s.
I don't think Belichick is going to be like such a draw for quarterback. I think a lot of defense, yes. But quarterback, nah, I don't know. Like, what kind of team is he going to run?
Okay, so this was part of my 5-point plan for Bill Belichick on how to be successful at North Carolina, which I can run through quickly. I still have not figured out the right way to say number one. But number five, keep doing Pat McAfee show. Number four, got to make the playoff year two. Number three, bring Nick Saban into the building to help out. Number two was talk up the early Brady years. Early Brady.
Right, exactly. Like, where basically you're going to go and say, that's the dumbest plan ever because, hey, we won when the quarterback wasn't that good.
I took pick 199 and I made him the greatest of all time. That's what you have to say.
If you tell, hey, you remind me of Tom Brady, I'm signing, like, in 2.5 seconds.
Right. He's going to point to 2007 and see, like, I had a year where Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns. That's the calling card, so, not the early Tom Brady years.
But he's saying, I took Tom Brady from backup quarterback at Michigan to married to Giselle, greatest quarterback of all time. Do you want that to be you? Come with me.
Is that as good an argument or Lincoln Riley? Like, I took Kyler Murray off the garbage heap of college football and turned him into the number one overall pick.
Kyler Murray
was going to be the starting shortstop of the Oakland A's. He had options.
Kyler Murray was a generational athlete, quiet as kept.
Kyler Murray could get a job anywhere. Right. And Lincoln Riley turned him into a superstar.
No, but Jalen Kyler Ernst, Murray too. Was number one recruit, Allen, Texas. Remember the huge Texas factory?
Yes, I know exactly what happened to Kyler. Kyler Murray lost his job at A&M and flamed out. And that was an incredible resurrection project. Lincoln Riley had two number one picks and a superstar quarterback. He's the ultimate quarterback coach, right?
Yeah.
Belichick, I feel like Belichick's going to run kind of a slow team. Kind of like the old Patriots with Mac Jones, like five passes in a game. Listen, I just don't feel like he's any fun.
The football's not going to be the problem. And my number one key to success for Bill Belichick is to learn the lingo of young people today because he has a 24-year-old girlfriend. He's going to understand young people. So he can help with the social media.
Worded that much better than tapping into the 24-year-old.
I regret saying that the way I said it that time.
Sorry, can I give a little critique of the list?
No. Yes.
What if your five keys to success is make the playoff in the second year? One of the keys to success is win the national title. How do you get there is one of the questions.
I meant like proof of concept, you know? You gotta show people.
Yeah. It's a little circular. You're like, well, win the national title, then you're gonna definitely get the number one quarterback.
I meant it a little differently than that. But, you know, show a little success. Beat TCU in the opener.
Go all out in the beginning, yeah.
Gotta land a big recruit here. 855-212-4227 M&P. Okay, Perloff, you got us.
You're in a 4-minute break.
Maggie, I got good news. I was a big winner on Prize Picks last night. It is the best. I mean, I love this December. You got so many sports going on. I've been heavy into the NBA. It's the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in award winning Prize Picks. Has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their production, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money. You can even find out who is on the New Orleans Pelicans roster by playing this game. And I have DeJounte Murray over 5.5 rebounds tonight. Prize Picks is the best.
Well, you can also pair that. Can I interest you in a little Brock Purdy passing yards? How about more than 255.5? Or maybe George Kittle receiving yards of 59.5? Just want to wish everybody a Merry Picksmas because now in December, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks this entire month. They're giving away $30+ million in rewards during Picksmas. It's the best time of year. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Thank you.
Thank you for the dramatic hand signal. We're back, Maggie.
It's like Aaron Rodgers with a silent count.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus. Maybe you can use Prize Picks to get into the in-season NBA tournament, because we know that it's been a tough sell for you. But I'm hearing a lot of NBA players, hey, we're going to Vegas. I am officially still against this in-season tournament. I will never come off the stake. Never in a million years.
My favorite part of this is when the players are like, we're going to Vegas. I'm like, you're always in Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
You're in Vegas more than regular people. You're more in Vegas more than people who live in Vegas. The NBA has kind of made Vegas like their second headquarters outside of, well, their like New York office, because they do summer league there. Wow. They do everything.
Atlanta, too.
Atlanta is also very popular. Not the Hawks, per se, but
no,
Buckhead.
Yeah.
City Wings.
Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
Pearl, you're not alone. I saved this from yesterday. Average viewership of the group stage games, 1.33 million people. That's a 10% drop from year one of the Cup.
I love you guys are rooting against this. Like, it's another thing for us to talk about.
We're rooting against Manny and EJ is what we're doing.
So wait, it's at 1.3. That means it was at like 1.4, not last year. Like,
fair.
It's just regular season. It's nothing against the NBA. It's just a regular season game. At the end of the day, it can't be anymore.
So then why do you hate it?
Like, well,
because they're trying to sell it as something more.
Here's something that I've come around on, and EJ, I got to give you credit on this, because at first the courts were like really off-putting to me. Some of the colors were really blinding, and you're like, no, but then you can easily tell what's a Cup game and what's not a Cup game.
Right.
And I appreciate that now. You're right about that.
I think the players have a hard time picking up jerseys on those courts. I noticed it last night. They were throwing the ball all over in the beginning of the game.
That's just because the Warriors turn the ball over a ton.
Maggie, yeah. You need an entire 94-foot red court to know that an NBA Cup game. Why don't we just put a logo at center court? Would that be good enough?
Oh, yeah, they could have put something on a graphic.
Like, right.
There's other ways.
I guess it's good for the kids, but what if the NFL
The Rockets were playing on lava last night. Yeah.
What if the
How
NFL
is that good for
this?
Anybody?
What if they made like week 8 the special like Commissioner's Cup? We would laugh so hard, be like, what are you talking about? Just it's all about the Super Bowl. That's what's my issue. Like, every sport should be about the championship, not about individual awards. Like, I don't care if Josh Allen beats Saquon Barkley for the MVP. It should be all about the title. That's how I was raised as a professional athlete.
Yeah, clearly you're not a soccer fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm American. Like, being number one in something matters. It's not like Europe where it's just basically like, oh, we can't win the big one. We're just going to win some side cup.
But also, like,
no wonder we kill them and everything.
I've made the soccer comparison, and it only goes so far, because a lot of the soccer comparisons are for events that have existed for 100 years. They didn't make them up 18 months ago. Like, the secondary competition in England matter because they've been played since the turn, like, the 1900s. Involve the entire country.
Okay, well, here's an idea. How about we give it some time? It's year two.
How many decades?
I don't know, but I think... So, to me, though, I feel like this is an early experiment. We'll see how it goes. I like these games. There are plenty of fans who do. It's not a big deal.
No, I think what turned people off was when the Lakers raised the banner.
No. It was way turned off way before that.
Oh, okay.
It was the announcement.
The Lakers. We won the first one. Come on.
I know, Ray. You're the big Laker fan here. Did you think they should have hung a banner for that?
It was very tacky. I'll be completely honest.
Yeah.
Because, but you know,
you're the Lakers. You're like crown jewel franchise. You don't need a gimmick.
But the league needs to make sure that people take the tournament seriously.
Why should they take it seriously?
Because they want you to. I don't know.
They wanted another thing to sell.
Yes. Right. Yes. There you go.
You're being sold to.
Yeah.
Isn't that annoying?
Oh, no. You're sold to watch games.
What do you know? Do you want to be sold to? Like, you want to,
no,
like...
I there's a reality that I am being sold to, and I understand
you don't think
that.
Right.
That's
like
definitely a negative thing. Like, it's not like, yay, they're marketing me. No, yeah. You're supposed to enjoy the competition.
You don't think the NFL sells you to watch every week? Come on.
Well, of course it does.
They
but
just put
that's
a
like
Simpsons like a sideshow.
Yeah,
it was idiotic. But I'm saying, yes, but that's not like a good thing. You're like, yay, I'm getting marketed to. Like, you're supposed to like be like that, that's a negative side of sports.
In football is kind of marketing.
What is?
The ooze from Nickelodeon that they do for some of the touchdown celebrations.
Slime,
the slide, yeah.
Yes. Right, and like, I'm not 12. I'm not going to watch a Nick game.
Right, but you're not sitting here being like, oh, I do find the MVP vote fascinating because they're doing Nickelodeon Simpsons. No, it's like, it's okay, they're doing this thing. Cool. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I didn't turn it on, but it was fine.
Here's the other part.
It doesn't offend me.
This
is my point.
This is it. I know we're being a dead horse on this thing a little bit, but I think this is the chance that the NBA Cup has. Last year, the Pacers were the runners-up, right? And then they went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. If somehow this year's team or one of those teams, if it's an out-of-nowhere team and they end up going to the NBA Finals or Eastern or Western Conference Finals, then maybe begins to be a little proof of concept. Like, hey, you play these games in January. Excuse me, what month is it? December. It sets you up for some competition down the line.
If Trae Young wins an NBA championship this year, I will do a whole show shirtless.
No, there's
done.
Is he getting traded at the deadline?
No, it's got to be on the Hawks. Maggie said the team out of nowhere that goes and wins a championship. If that happens, I will do a whole show shirtless, and I'll give a public apology to Trae Young and speak about his brilliance
and his hair. Yes. Bogish, you're up
the
with headlines.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Today's poll question, should your number be in the rafters at the Garden if you only score 14 points in an elimination game, letting Jalen Johnson and DeAndre Hunter beat your Knicks?
Who do you know? I'm Jalen Brunson.
Brunson and the Knicks, 108-100 losers at home to the Hawks in the NBA Cup quarterfinal. Atlanta goes to Vegas to meet the Bucks on Saturday while Tom Thibodeau figures out what happened to his team after halftime last night.
Our energy dipped, and it can't dip. Missed shots are part of the game. You just got to keep fighting. You can win with your defense, your rebounding. You know, we had a couple turnovers that were a problem as well.
The Rockets then joined the Thunder in the West finale in Vegas with a 91-90 home win over the Warriors. Jalen Green hit two free throws with 3.5 seconds left after a loose ball foul on Golden State on the other end of the floor. Aside from the cup, the Rockets had lost 15 straight meetings to the Warriors.
Manny's talking about doing some unspeakable things to you with this baseball bat, just saying.
Oh, Manny's here today. Jimmy Butler said yesterday he doesn't mind the trade rumors involving him.
I actually like it. It's good to be talked about. I don't think there's a such thing as like bad publicity to a point. But, you know, somebody talking about me getting traded, that's a lot.
The Suns.
Bad publicity. It's been a pro for like 20 years.
Okay. The Suns are the latest team linked to Butler. Miami head coach Eric Spoelstra dismissed all this trade speculation earlier in the week. Lastly, from the NBA, LeBron with an excused absence from the Lakers right now. Their next game is tomorrow night in Minnesota. They play again on Sunday, then not again until next Thursday. All that's left in Chapel Hill now is Board of Trustees approval. There is an emergency meeting today to let Bill Belichick coach the UNC football team. It's reportedly a 5-year deal worth $50 million. There is a new ESPN story now this morning on why Belichick is going the college route. It says that he no longer likes the NFL, and this is a big bleep you to the league, but also mentions that no teams wanted to hire him. So I don't know if you can put your middle finger up when no one's even looking at you.
Well, yeah, who put the middle finger up first?
Right.
Yeah.
Also, you can't fire me. I quit. Is kind of, there's that energy here.
Yes.
I hate the NFL, but I'm going to go on every NFL show and talk about how much I know about the NFL. Oh, what a loser, this guy.
But wait, well, how did he, I don't know, how did he really know there was going to be no offers? Like, doesn't a lot of this happen in January? I mean, I'm not that you guys know how to answer that, but like, did he really get the full temperature of the NFL?
So, I mean, so there's only a handful of teams that are going to have jobs, right?
6 to 10,
so
yeah.
The story says they thought about the Bears. The Bears, the story is trying to, by the way, of what you'd expect, that Belichick and his buddies hang out early every week and go through all the NFL games
right. And
talk about the league and whatever. And they eventually landed on the fact that the Bears would be the most beneficial team for them to take over.
Right.
But the assumption is the Bears want a young offensive mind, which is not Bill Belichick. So the Jets, he could never go there. There's not going to be a Giants opening. And as your guest from The Athletic said, the Jaguars make a lot of sense, except they're not going to hire him and give him full control. So I think he knows that there's no job for him. And instead of waiting again, he gets to say that I was like, oh, this league is stupid. I'm going to go to college.
What about the other potential openings like Dallas, New Orleans? That's what I mean. Like, aren't there going to be possibly four or five more? I read the same thing.
I don't think he understands. thinks he would get either job.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's trying to thread a needle here that obviously is a lot harder than we thought, which is you're going to not just need an opening of coach, you need the opening of GM. Because that's Bill's, he's bringing in his guys. Wow. And I think it'd be, if you had a GM and you bring in Bill Belichick and all of his people, the owner's going to eventually look at you and say, what do you do around here? And if you're not in the Belichick tree, I think it's going to be hard. So how many times do you have the GM and the coach opening at once?
What about, Raiders?
I was in the meetings with Bill and Mike Lombardi and Josh McDaniels, so I don't know how they got to the Raiders.
I mean, I understand. It totally makes sense. But, like, couldn't he push the Raiders buttons, the Titans buttons, you know, the Browns could, like, I don't know. I feel like Bill Belichick really wanted a job. It just, it's hard for me to compute that nobody would have wanted it.
I get the impression that these things are, like, way more, like, predetermined than we even realize.
Yeah.
Like, the guys know who's hiring who. It's just a matter of just going through the motions of interviews and figuring it out.
Like, if they're, I said the worst case scenario for the Raiders is with Brady now being approved as owner. And, oh, by the way, a report yesterday that he's going to be involved in the draft.
That sounds like that will not work, but please go ahead.
Okay. Well, if we find out that Brady was at, I don't know how we would, but if Brady was telling Mark Davis, don't hire Belichick.
Yeah.
Like that would add a new wrinkle and a new layer to.
Also, too, like, it's, why would Belichick want the Raiders? That's going to be really hard to get seven, whatever many wins he needs.
Then you might get Shador Sanders. You could have the top quarterback.
The Raiders, how many wins does he need? 17? That might take, what?
15,
6.5 years to get that in Vegas right now. I mean, look at that. Right, you're still unbearing from the Gruden, Mike Mayock era.
Yeah, but if you have Shador, you got Brock Bowers, you still have Max Crosby, your offensive line is not terrible.
Your highest upside is 7-10, the team you just described. You really think that is a sleeping giant, the Raiders, with Mark Davis as their owner?
The only reason why I'd say no is because the rest of the division is going to, that's tough. You're with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos. That's hard, but yeah, kind of. I don't think it's that's a totally dire situation.
This may be like a silly question, but I'll ask anyway. Do you think Bill Belichick's earned the right to be like, I deserve like a great situation? Like, he did, as Perloff said, and I agree, a terrible job in New England the last few years. Terrible.
Yeah, but he did a phenomenal job for the first 20.
Right, but at the end of the day, though, we're looking at the future. We're looking at what we're going to be seeing, right? And he looked like a guy that the game passed him by. I don't know if that's true or real, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Is it fair for him to sit there and say, the Bears' job is the most enticing, I should get that job, and they should just get rid of Poles and let me do everything I want? Like, I didn't see anything in New England the last year to suggest that he deserves that kind of power. I'm being real.
And when Maggie said that, I wonder, like, does he really need to be the GM? He should, he loves coaching so much. Just give up all that. He's not even good at GM.
I was talking to Ray back here. Yeah. We were talking about, like, you know, North Carolina and what he's going to do with the offense. Like, I think he needs to, like, hand some of this stuff just off to people. Like, he shouldn't be doing anything with the offense.
Yeah,
he
wants hold on. This is the same.
Down and stuff. Just give it to some young guy who knows what he's doing, and you do the things you do well.
This is the same person whose coaching mentor says, you can't have me cook the meal if I don't pick out the groceries. So I think you're asking for a leopard to change his spots. Either you like the leopard the way it is or hire someone else. And we're getting the answer here.
But beggars can't be choosers. He's got, I mean, like, yes, the leopard is now kicked out of the league and coaching in North Carolina football. So I just want to make that clear. He's not even at a premier program in your own school. This is not like, forget the mystique.
The mystique is gone. He was going to go to the Falcons last year.
Yeah, the mystique is, whatever he was, is gone.
Well, and I mean, that to me remains the startling thing, that in a league that loves to bring back retreads, there hasn't been one owner that goes, I want that guy.
That's why I think Robert Kraft poisoned the water a little bit by telling Arthur Blank he's a pain in the ass.
Well, everyone knew he was a pain in the butt, too.
No, because we get the second part, which is, no, he's totally different behind the scenes.
Bill Belichick? I mean, an owner is savvy enough just to watch him on the sideline.
I don't think those owners are that savvy.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of evidence.
You think that owners didn't know that Bill Belichick was a pain in the butt? It seemed pretty obvious to me.
I think that Robert Kraft also did have a hand in this.
I think also, too, like, he's 72. Like, that really hamstrings you in the market. I mean, it's probably ageism to say, but what's your window? Like, people want Ben Johnson because of the upside. They don't want the old coach.
In some ways, he kind of needs, like, a silver bullet unicorn kind of job, a job that has the potential to win kind of soon because he's young, but also doesn't have a GM or will fire their GM, but also isn't friends with Robert Kraft or doesn't care what he thinks. Like, there's a lot of things that have to work out for him to get exactly what he wants, which is why I asked that question. Like it just might not be perfect, bro. Like, maybe you got to give up some of this stuff in order to get back in the league if that's what you really want.
Yeah, I agree. I think he should have said, I'll just coach and you do the GMing.
855-212-4227. Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, your thoughts on Bill Belichick? If you think this is going to work or this is not going to work? And are you stunned that the NFL has just said a collective no thank you? It appears. The other part, I got a story for you. Guys, you want to talk about a shocking headline? I was very genuinely legitimate surprised by this one. I read it twice because I was like, this can't be. I'll tell you about it next. M&P. Poll question up right now. Maggie and Pearl on X. Will Bill Belichick be a success at North Carolina? 55% of you saying no. I did not think I'd be in the minority here, but I think he is going to be a success. I think NFL teams are going to regret passing on him.
Give me one. What do you mean? What kind of team? Like a rebuilding team or like a team who could win now?
I think Jerry will. I don't know who Jerry's going to hire. Jerry Jones. Maybe it's Kellen Moore. Maybe it's still go with Mike McCarthy. I don't know. I think Belichick, if everyone could put their ego aside, which I know is asking for the sun, the moon, and the stars, I think that could have worked.
I'm curious about my team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who reportedly have a great relationship with Belichick. What if Sirianni flames out? Are they going to be like, why didn't we hire this dude? I mean, yeah, and maybe your team, too. I know you've been interested in him. Like, I'm very curious. You're right. What if he's awesome in North Carolina? Is the NFL going to look over their shoulder?
Listen, I already knew this, and I already thought for my Buffalo Bills that Sean McDermott has a penchant for choking in big moments. And all you needed to know was how Tom Brady, as a broadcaster, who said, like, four insightful things all season, probably had his best moment at the end of that Bills-Rams game, where he's like, they shouldn't run QB sneak here. And it's exactly what they did. And to me, that's when I was like, oh, this is why the Bills need Belichick, because they got everything else, right? They're fine as a team. They're a great team. They need the good, brilliant tactician to try to beat Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. Like, you're going to go up against, you know, like, the best of the best of the best. You got to have an advantage in the coaching rank it somehow. And I think Belichick, at the end of games, I would trust him a lot more than I trust Sean McDermott.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. Although at the end, Belichick didn't seem to have control of games.
Yeah, but if he had Josh Allen, like he's going into a game with Bailey Zappi and Mac Jones.
But he looked confused in the fourth quarters at the end of it. The other thing, too, is obviously Andy Reid's the worst game manager I've ever seen, and he's just won the last two Super Bowls.
I know Kyle Shanahan has trouble managing end of games. I know. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm worried that this is, you know, that Bill Belichick could have been available.
Yeah. I think the question is he still got his fastball?
We're going to see. He signed a five-year deal at North Carolina. Can I share another headline with you guys that I was just kind of stunned by? And I understand that people go broke. I know they do. And I know lottery winners go broke and people have tons of money go broke. How about this? Jim Carrey said, I'm retiring in 2022, and was serious about it. He had had enough. He'd done enough. He is enough. Now he's in the movie Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Why? You know, I bought a lot of stuff and I need the money, quite frankly. End quote. Are you a little surprised Jim Carrey needed the money? First of all, what do you think he bought? How much can you buy when you have Jim Carrey kind of money?
Well,
he's got to do Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
How did he make all his money? Like, he did some like artsy movies too.
How did Jim Carrey make all of his money?
Like, where's his big money? I mean, he's not Tom Cruise. Like, he never really had like the massive franchise.
Ace Ventura franchise. The Mask. He had,
those
like,
were early. Like, I'm not sure those were $50 million paydays.
No, but he was making $20 million paydays at the time when that's like as high as it was going.
Yeah, I don't think his career was like so good that he could just walk away from. Like he's not like a Marvel hero. Like, he has some big movies. But like, did he get rich off Dumb and Dumber? We love Dumb and Dumber.
I think he got rich off of Dumb and Dumber. I think they all got rich off of Dumb and Dumber.
I don't think, like, from a movie standpoint, like, that's Mission Impossible 4. I think it was a great comedy. He probably made some money. But it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, no, I don't think of him, like, I wouldn't think he's super, super, super loaded. Like,
Am I crazy? Maybe this
I
is.
I kind of agree with Perloff. Yeah, I don't like, know if what I'm so big far profitable down the road. Movies. Like, I mean, he has some big movies and some big franchises, but I mean, Tom Cruise is working, right? Like, he has a big franchise. He's still working. Now he's a little crazy. Maybe that's different. But, like, I don't know. I kind of agree. I think he probably, his money isn't that long. I think he can just not live a Jim Carrey style life without ever working. I don't think so.
I'm stunned. Can you put us a poll question? Like, are you surprised that Jim Carrey had to unretire because he ran out of money? According to him. And he also said he bought a lot of things. So, yes, he is, like, implying he's living a very lavish lifestyle.
That's the bigger question to me is, like, I don't – Jim Carrey seems to be – he would seem to me to be a minimalist. Like, what is he buying?
Right.
He doesn't seem like the guy that's buying the Phantom or the Maybach.
Like, I think what makes you go broke, actually, is buying lots of houses. I think that's how Nicolas Cage had money issues.
I thought real estate is what you do to never lose money. I thought that was the thing, the way to go.
I don't know. I think Nicolas Cage bought like a castle or something and it ended up becoming like a money pit.
That's a terrible investment when you buy those mega houses.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you buy like the residential buildings. You buy those up if you're smart, allegedly.
Man, I don't know. Apparently Jim Carrey was an Anchorman too. So it's not like he hasn't worked that. You know, it's not like he's been retired for so long.
He also was definitely in like Sonic 2 and I think 1. Yeah, I think he's in all. That's why when he said that, I was a little confused. I'm like, well, he was working in the first two.
Okay, here is that. If you want to guess, if you could tell me his highest grossing movie, according to the interwebs.
The highest grossing movie.
Jim Carrey movie.
I would imagine it was probably Ace Ventura 2 or something.
It is Bruce Almighty. That big franchise.
I mean,
pretty good.
The guy had an incredible career. Liar, Liar, Truman Show.
Yeah, those are all good. They're not Marvel movies.
He was in The Grinch Stole Christmas.
That one was tough.
Thank you to EJ. Thank you to Ray Jarvis. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, overseeing things, I guess. Thank you to Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan.